Jay Rudolph along with you for this edition of our Kinship Christian Radio podcast. And I am joined by Paul Van Gorkum, who's the executive director of Go Serve Global, which is an Eagle Grove, Iowa-based humanitarian relief ministry and organization, and of course also a gospel-bearing organization, which I should start with that because that's the most important thing of all, though the humanitarian relief is desperately needed, especially at this time when we're talking about the pandemic season that we're in as we record this podcast here. And so that's why I invited Paul to come into our studios and share a little bit about a world perspective. Paul, I know I was thinking the other day about what could I do for a podcast topic that would have some relevance and importance at this time, and I was drawn to, you know, what sorts of ministry and things are taking place even during the pandemic when so many things have been shut down. And one of those things that is taking place but is needed a lot more is delivery of food and resources, especially to some of the countries we're going to talk about today. So first of all, welcome to the airwaves here, Paul.
Wow, thank you much, Jay.
And thanks for coming in to our studios here. And I want to have you kind of open up and just give us a little bit of a perspective, because here in America, it's hard for us to grasp the desperate situation because we have so many fallbacks and safety nets that help us out, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I think that's a good way to start this podcast. We recently had a board meeting for Go Serve Global, and at that meeting, we were able to get updates from each of our country directors, and it was rather sobering as we listened to each of the country directors. But there was a common theme, and that was the idea of the people are starving, and food has become an issue. The virus has created some health issues, obviously, but more importantly, it's caused the shutdowns of countries, which has caused people to lose their jobs. So now there's no money for people to buy food, and it's getting quite desperate. You know, here in the U.S., our initial response was to go out and buy toilet paper and hoard things. And in these other countries where, on a regular basis, you only make enough money to buy what you need for the next day, there's no such thing as hoarding. So people weren't able to stock up. So it represents a very difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. And as I said at the outset here, in addition to not having the resources to stock up on things, they also don't have the fallback programs. And there's really nothing, you know, when food is in scarce supply, the government's not going to step up and all of a sudden, you know, give you a check or a bunch of food here.
Right. And that's the way it is in these countries. There's very little government help. There's little or no unemployment compensation. And we certainly, people are not getting an extra $600 a week added on to their unemployment compensation that they might be getting. There's no stimulus checks. There's no such thing as a food pantry or a food bank, things like that. The healthcare system is not what it is here in the U.S. And it's just now to a point where there's no money to buy food for families.
We're going to share some good news here at the close because I feel a weight and a heaviness already. It really is a very heavy topic. So hang in there, folks. We're going to have some good news out of all this. But I guess, you know, one thing amidst all of this is that we are maybe seeing an increased recognition, I guess, of people of the needs of others. At least I hope so anyway, because, you know, a lot of these needs that these countries have are persistent. They've been ongoing for a long time. Yes, I'm sure they're deeper. They've gotten worse during the pandemic. But these are things that these countries, you know, they didn't have any support system. You know, it wasn't all of a sudden that they didn't have the support system. So maybe people are being awakened, hopefully, to some of these needs a little better now.
Well, I know I certainly am, and the reports that I can continue to get from the countries that we serve in. Just an example, in Peru, that government shut down the country back on March 15th. And unlike the U.S., the military there is patrolling the streets. They're enforcing the curfew. There's only one person allowed per household out in public at any given time, and you have to have a permit with you that's issued by the government. Violators have their vehicles impounded. A lot of the markets are closed. When you can shop, it's between 5 a.m. in the morning and 10 a.m., so things are very restricted in that regard. desperate families have begun holding out white flags on a stick out their windows in their homes. That signifies that that home does not have any food and they're looking for help. The local church that we've been supporting down there has really stepped up, and they've been delivering food and supplies to those families that are needy. In addition to starvation, down in Iquitos, Peru, where we work, the COVID-19 virus cases continue to climb. The healthcare system that serves over almost a half million people, there's only one hospital open now, so that's a real issue. And we have a wonderful nurse from Clear Lake that is working with us down there. Has been down there for a couple years. And she's working 12-hour shifts, literally making house calls to families and treating the sick that way and bringing the love of Christ to people. The people are afraid to go to hospitals because that's where people go to die. When you go to the hospital, for some reason, you don't come back. That's the way they think. So a lot of people are afraid to even go get medical care. So we're collecting funds for food, but we're also collecting some funds for medicine, for medical supplies that our nurse can use down in Peru. There's a lot of sharing of the gospel that's going on. We've had several young ladies. There were three young ladies from Clear Lake, Iowa that were in Peru, went down there several months ago for a 2 to 3 month internship. They got caught up in the virus, so they stayed a few extra days. But fortunately, the U.S. military brought in a plane and evacuated them, so they are now back home in Clear Lake.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I guess since we kind of went that direction toward the mission trip aspect or, you know, internships and stuff, let me ask you this. What is the future impact, before we get to some of the other countries here, what's the future impact look like as far as you guys being able to get back to some of these places?
Well, it's a little uncertain right now. A couple months ago, I guess it was, we had to suspend all of our mission trips. And normally we send 30 or 40 different trips a year. This year we've only sent 7. So it's had a big effect on missions trips. But then it's really uncertain as to when we'll be able to get back to some of these countries. There's two countries in particular, Haiti and Guatemala, that after reading all the news about how many cases we have here in the United States, actually believe that we started this virus. And they are going to be very slow in allowing Americans to come back into the country. So that's an issue that we're going to have to deal with.
I wanted to talk a little bit too then, because here you are saying that, you know, your missionaries can't get into the country, but yet we're wanting to raise funds here. We're wanting to ask people to support GoServe Global and other organizations as well that will get food to the people that need it, and not just food but other resources, medicines and things like that. So how do you go about doing that when you know, can't get people into the country?
Yeah, well, fortunately, we have a really good network of in-country leaders that we support and work with all the time. So any money that's donated to GoServe Global for this coronavirus will go directly through those people to buy food and to buy medical supplies, whatever is needed. So we're very efficient at that, and we also are very good at making sure that every dollar that's donated for that purpose, 100% of that dollar goes to buy food and medicine.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about some of the other countries. You brought up Peru. Now, you're working in several, and I don't want to skip over any, so we can come back to some of the others here. I might be skipping a little bit ahead in your list here, but I wanted to touch on India so I don't forget something that I wanted to ask you about, and that is, India, here's a country where they have had a real problem with the coronavirus, but now I just got word today, and maybe you've seen this a while, who knows? Maybe a while ago you saw this even, but about the locust devastation there. I know Africa has gotten hit too, and in Middle East, a lot of places have been getting these massive swarms of locusts, but it's especially bad in India too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So adding insult to injury with that additional problem there, as well as We are not able to operate like we would like to, being that we're a Christian organization in a Hindu country. There's a lot of persecution, especially in two of the states that we work in, are highly persecuted areas. So it's made it a little bit more difficult for us to work there. We have a boarding school that's been closed in India. And so all the kids have gone back to their villages and to their families. And one of the big issues is with the economy being shut down there, people that live in the bigger cities no longer have work. So they are traveling hundreds, sometimes 1,000 miles back to their villages. And with the lack of food, there are literally people that are dying along the roadways of starvation. So that's how bad it's getting there. The police are out. They're very strictly enforcing curfews. You can lose your vehicle very easily. I've seen videos of people being beaten by the police simply because they're out and violating curfew. So that's a big issue for India, and we are doing our best through our local contacts there to deliver food and things, not really through our church because we can't do it that way, but there is another NGO that we have and that we can work through without any fear of reprisal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just thinking, too, most of these places have very little sanitary practices and hygiene and things like that. Have you needed to do some training of your contacts there so they can train others, or maybe they already knew and were doing that?
Yeah, it's interesting in some of these remote villages where there's very, very little communication to the outside world. They're very remote, and they don't really know about the coronavirus. So part of what we've been doing is traveling to these villages and trying to educate people about what this virus is, telling them about face masks and things. So, yes, that's an important part of what we're doing there.
Well, there's a few countries we didn't touch on yet, and Haiti, of course, is one of them. Now, is Haiti the first country that GoServe Global got involved in?
Yes. As you might recall, that it was a natural disaster in Haiti that prompted the beginnings of GoServe Global in the earthquake that happened back in 2010, and GoServe Global has been responding to various disasters ever since then, and this is another one. But the Haitian government shut that country down on March 19th, it was, so quite a while ago. The case counts there are actually relatively low. If you would go online and Google for Haiti cases, you'll see that it's low. But there's just no infrastructure there, so the reporting is almost non-existent. So it's a much worse situation than what is being reported. Most of the cases are up in Port-au-Prince, the capital city, the largest city in Haiti. And we are about 120 miles away from Port-au-Prince, down in southwest Haiti, so we're not affected as much by the coronavirus there. The airports are closed. All the roads to where we are closed except for supplies. So if you're driving a car or a bus, you're not going to get through. That's part of their way of trying to control the virus. The airports are closed except for supplies. The schools and the churches and the orphanages that we support there are doing okay. The schools and the churches are closed. The orphanages, we're continuing to feed our kids okay, but the price of food is skyrocketing, so we do need additional funds to go down just to buy the normal supply of food that we would. And again, as I mentioned before, Haiti's one of these very suspicious countries, and they are going to be very slow to let Americans come back into the country.
Hmm. Which is why you guys are fortunate to have, you know, staff there already that's there permanently. So,
right.
Yeah. It just was occurring to me that some people, you know, our listeners are, well, anybody around the world can tune into this since it's on our website, which, by the way, this is a Kinship Christian Radio podcast, and the website is kinshipradio.org. But there's a lot of people who, you know, probably aren't familiar with GoServe Global, and I think the main thing that stands out, I guess, to me as being this is GoServe Global is the safety home, right?
Right. That's a big part of what we do. The safety home is manufactured by Sukup Manufacturing right here in Iowa.
Now, have you, in all the countries that you're working, is that, you know, kind of one of the main focus that you do is erect the safety homes then in all those countries then?
We have safety homes in Peru, in Uganda, and also in Haiti.
Okay. All right. So that leaves, one country we haven't talked about yet, Guatemala, then. Right. Is that a newer work in Guatemala, then? Or?
Yeah, that's one of our newest. We've been down there since January of 2016. There's a school there and a church. Both of those are closed, unfortunately, right now. So that's created a problem for our staff who have lost their jobs there. And the government continues to shut things down. So a lot of the spouses of those staff members now have lost their jobs as well. So it's become a hardship for them. Again, there, the government is out with the military patrolling the streets enforcing curfews. The church, however, has been great. They've been delivering food to needy families that they know of that surround the church there, and have been baking food and making meals and delivering those. So really a wonderful work that the church is doing there. Part of what we do on a normal basis is that we have a kitchen in the church, which is used as a feeding program for the students that come to our school. So they get two meals a day. Sometimes it's the only meals they get every day. And just recently, the government authorized us to open up that kitchen so that we can prepare more food for people in the community there. So money that's sent down to Guatemala is going to be used to buy food to make meals in that feeding center. So we're very happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Uganda is the only one that we didn't touch on too much. And from what I understand there, you know, maybe they're affected by the locusts that I was talking about, too, as being in Africa. But this is a country that you guys have been in for quite a few years there and have seen, from what I've heard anyway, some pretty good, results, I guess, as far as, you know, evangelism and getting the gospel out, right?
Yes, we work with a missionary from International Messengers, which is based right here in Clear Lake, Iowa. And it's just a really neat project over there, providing housing and a safe environment for parentless kids who were previously living in refugee camps in northern Uganda. And if you're a refugee child and you don't have any family, it's not a pleasant place to live because you're not very well cared for. And sometimes you're subject to becoming a slave for a family and even worse things. So this unique project is designed to rescue these kids and so that they can come to a very safe environment. There's a church there. There's a school. So these kids are thriving. It's amazing to see how they change. It takes about 3 weeks for them to start to realize that people do love me here. I'm not going to be abused here. I get three meals a day here. So they start to get into a routine, which kids really need. And then they learn about the love of Jesus at the same time.
That's fantastic. Well, and I understand that you're providing food for widows right now in the area?
Right. Through the local church there, we are finding widows who have no means of providing food for themselves now that family members don't have work who normally would help them with food. So, again, it's pure religion, as James would say, helping widows and orphans. And it's just been really great that our church has stepped up there and is providing food for people. The government recently lifted travel restrictions within Uganda. Before, you could be thrown in jail if you left your home and were out caught out on the road. So that's helping us to get more supplies to where they're needed. So we're very happy those restrictions have been lifted.
That's great. Before we get to a little bit of good news here to kind of wrap things up, I wanted to have you share the contact information. We'll do it again at the end here, but how can people reach out and support or learn more?
Well, our website is simply www.goserveglobal.org. kinship.org. And once you get to that opening page, you can read about the different countries that we work in, what we do. You can also go to our giving page. There's an opportunity to give online. There's a drop-down box where you can collect or suggest. I'm sorry, you could select coronavirus. There's a drop-down box. So that if you donate to that, that money will go to buying food for people and some medical supplies down in Peru.
Okay. I would note that that's the hard thing about being on the radio and giving a web address. There's no E in the serve, right?
So that's right. That's right.
GoServeGlobal.org without an E on the word serve. So my guest here is Paul Van Gorkum, the executive director of Eagle Grove, Iowa-based GoServe Global. And Paul, I want to conclude our time together with some good news, really good news, because we know that, as I said at the outset, the gospel is not going to be held back by some pandemic. Nothing's going to hold the word of God back. It will not return void. And so as a result, I guess that's the best news of all, right?
It is. And, you know, we serve a great God who cannot be stopped by some simple little virus. And the gospel is being spread. People are seeing that our local churches are stepping up. And what a biblical concept that the local church is leading the way in helping people that are poor and starving and in need of medical attention. So that's the way it should be, and I'm so proud of our in-country churches and the staff and what they're doing for their communities.
Share with us a little bit of some of the things that they are doing.
Okay, well, mainly it is the food distribution, and that's the top of the list of everybody. You have to be able to eat, obviously, or you're going to die. So those are the very first things. While we're there, people ask us why we're doing this. So we give them an opportunity to hear the gospel, and it's because of God's love for us that we are sharing God's love with them. So and the response from our donors has been phenomenal. This is really resonating with people, the need for money for food. And I think especially that's true here in Iowa, where we're so proud of being such a provider of food for people worldwide. And now we can do it in a little bit different way, just by donating and getting money directly to the countries. And our dollars go way farther in these countries than they do here. So that's a big advantage as well.
Fantastic. Well, again, the website for more information or to support, GoServeGlobal.org. Paul Van Gorkum, the executive director of that ministry based right in the heartland in Iowa, has been with me, and I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with him a bit and hope that you'll check out their site. Paul, thanks for coming in and being with us.
Well, thank you, Jay. I always enjoy being with you.
Paul Van Gorkum again from GoServe Global. And that's our latest Kinship Christian Radio podcast. You can always find out more about our ministry here at our website, kinshipradio.org.